Apple Card is the perfect cashback rewards credit card. You earn up to 3% daily cash on every purchase every day. That's 3% on your favorite products at Apple, 2% on all other Apple Card with Apple Pay purchases, and 1% on anything you buy with your titanium Apple Card or virtual card number. Visit apple.co/cardcalculator to see how much you can earn. Apple Card issued by Goldman Sachs Bank USA, Salt Lake City branch, subject to credit approval, terms apply.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Wow.
Hello and welcome to the Abroad Japan podcast, probably the best way of learning about life in Japan without actually being in Japan. I'm your host Chris Braun, and we're joined as always by England's top Japan enthusiast, Mr. Pete Donaldson himself. Pete, how the devil are you doing? What's going down?
Well, Chris, I've had a weekend of fun and games. We didn't speak about this in the last show, but I had a bit of a birthday weekend. And
It
was my birthday. Shit. And Chris very kindly line messaged me saying, "Happy birthday, Pete." And I'd forgotten that it was actually Chris's birthday a couple of weeks before mine, or a week before mine, and because it's not in my calendar. And so if it's not in my calendar and Chris isn't on Facebook, I cannot figure out when anyone's birthday is. So, Chris, I'd like to formally apologise on the Abroad Japan podcast. I'd like to apologise to all these good people that I did not manage to remember your birthday. And yet you celebrated, you sent me a text, which was lovely. I'd like to apologise. But I had a lovely time, I had a lovely weekend away.
Unbelievable.
Went to Canberra Sands, was a week in Canberra Sands, which was good. And it was really, really beautiful. Kent is great out in the sticks, isn't it? It's absolutely stunning. Went to Rye. Never been to Rye before.
Yeah. So I'm from Kent, right? And Canberra Sands is about 40 minutes from where I'm from.
Yeah.
And that's like the best beach in southeast England. Although I read in the news that all of the British coastline is just covered in sewage at the moment, and you shouldn't swim anywhere.
Yeah, so it's not great.
Is that still a thing?
Yeah, I mean they keep saying
medieval England.
They keep on saying it's just because a lot of the. I mean, we do this all the time. We always did this. Yeah, but you're doing it more than ever before because the government think it's okay because they get money from lobbyists, etc. But yeah, it's broadly fine. You've just got to keep an eye on the whole. Is this beach okay to swim in kind of vibe? we were out there, and Canberra Sands is absolutely stunning. The expanse of the beach, and certain parts of it you're allowed dogs all year round, which is not something you see on a lot of beaches. So if you're a dog fan, Canberra Sands between beach section B and D is absolute dog heaven. We saw so many dogs. Somebody bought a terrier. So many wolfy looking dogs. So many mutts. Bloody lovely.
Dogs.
You know those wolfy looking dogs? They've got like blue eyes, and they're
huskies.
They're the ones. A lot of wolfy dogs. But it was absolutely brilliant. And then, but I did get bought for my birthday like a lot of licorice. Now I'm a big licorice fan. I think it's delicious. And my partner and my friends and my family always buy me licorice for my birthday. The problem with licorice is it don't half mess with your belly. So
it's horrible.
The people who love me the most will buy me packs of blackjacks, packs of Pontercraft cakes, packs of what they call Good and Plenty, I believe you call them in America, but they're called something else here, licorice torpedoes over here. They'll buy me loads of them, and then they will complain when I am absolutely stinking the place out because I've eaten all of the licorice in the world. It's their fault. They gave me it. I can't be trusted to eat it in a timely manner. I've got to have the whole thing all down my gullet real quick.
I mean, I don't know how you can eat licorice. It's disgusting.
Delicious.
Apart from the one that tastes like strawberry.
It's absolutely... Well, it's not licorice, is it? I mean, that is just a solid gelatinous tube with strawberry in it. Ugh, gross.
I got a Terry's chocolate orange for my birthday. That was far better than licorice.
Nice
orange-flavoured chocolate. And I sat there and we got, for some reason, there's like unlimited cans of Coca-Cola in my new fridge because we ordered something off of like an online store once and it just came with a sack of cola. And I don't even like Coca-Cola because it's just like drinking pure diabetes, but with a chocolate orange and a Coca-Cola in hand, it's a good evening. It's a bit better than licorice. Ugh. But I'm glad you had a nice birthday on my local beach. It's basically my turf. I feel a sense of pride that you like my beach. Even though I have no ownership of the beach.
It's just very, very nice.
I'm from Rye. Is very nice as well. Really beautiful town. If you're listening to this and you're in the UK, go to Rye. It's got like a haunted pub, which is where I stayed. That's pretty good. Stayed there a few years ago with Charlotte. Wonderful times. I did send you an advanced screening of the Journey Across Japan trailer for Frozen Frontier. What do you reckon? I don't even know if it's out publicly at this point. It should be. If you're listening to this, you can go and watch it now. But did you like it, Pete? Speaking of big dogs, there was dogs dragging Joey and I across a field of snow.
The Patreoners did get a sneak preview, am I right in saying, Chris?
Yeah, that's been on Patreon a few days, yeah.
Yeah, that's what you get.
Last year, I think I released it like 3 months ahead on Patreon. Because I like blew my eardrum on the fucking boat ride or whatever it was in Okinawa, I ended up delaying the series like 2 months. So people on Patreon, they've been like hanging on for like 2 months, bless them, after watching the trailer. So I cocked up there.
I think it's the best one you've ever done. I know I had to blow smoke up that newly found Tokyo ass, but did you use your famous red film camera for the start with Natsuki on the roof?
No, actually, used the Sony camera.
What?
And I did use a very swanky lens there. It was a very nice lens.
Lovely
that
grain on it.
Why.
I just really fan of that. Yeah,
it's just colour grading, mate.
Just colour grading, mate.
Colour grading, isn't it?
Well, I just don't know. I don't know how you do all this magic, Chris, to be honest.
Just genius, isn't it?
Yeah.
No, it's just cheating. I used a plugin called Dehancer, and it gives it a lot of film grain and does something called Bloom. So that makes the lights have this nice kind of soft glow.
Yeah.
And halation, because film cameras, if you look at the outline of if you look at the outline of anything in a movie, often there's a very subtle red tint where there's contrast, right?
Right.
And it does things like that. So it just gives it a really nice filmic look. So if you've seen the trailer, then I just basically whacked that effect over the whole thing. And I feel a lot less smart now. I should have lied. I should have just said, it's my amazing cinematography, isn't it?
Your secrets, yeah. No, it looks really good. Yeah. And I think, presumably it will be out as we speak. But it's a lovely bit of work. And Natsuki doing his best acting. I could watch a lot of Natsuki in... I think he could be kind of like... popped into any, he could be kind of parachuted into any film and it would elevate that film in my humble opinion, because he's got that kind of like, he's willing to try and act but he's so naughty and cheeky that it just kind of, I don't know, it just adds a kind of like quite improv-y kind of style to it. I like it. I like watching
him. He's a pretty good performer, isn't that? To be honest, like, across the board. Like he knows what he's doing, and his acting in the opening when he's trying to shoot Ryotaro or whatever, it's actually pretty. But maybe that's not acting. Maybe he genuinely does want to shoot
Ryotaro. Yeah.
So it wasn't so much acting as living out fantasy. Yeah, yeah. And Ryotaro's acting was really good, as you'll see in the actual sketch. Got this like he got the song "Holiday" by Madonna. And Ryotaro is like singing a fucking Holiday in the car, driving along. It's all very nice and happy. And then he parks in this car park and the camera pulls back to reveal just an ashtray and Natsuki on the rooftop of a skyscraper. It's pretty bonkers. I don't know how he quite pulled it off.
You must have been very pleased with you and Joey falling off that sleigh. The actual the selfie camera managed to kind of like shoot the whole thing beautifully.
Yeah. So we went on the sleigh with the dogs and the sled and really cool. It's going well. And then we lost control because we went around a corner really fast and he just got flung off the back of it, right? And the dogs were like, just carry on. They're like, ah, woof, 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 fuck off. And they just carry on. And so Joey and I are like laying face down in the snow. We look up and it's all gone. The dogs and sleigh disappeared across the plains of Hokkaido. But we filmed it in the trailer. We got like a 360 camera, right? Which is amazing because you can capture your misery and despair from all angles. And in the case of the 360 cameras, we got flung off. You get this really unique perspective, right, where the camera's like floating in the air but also getting tossed around. And it's one of those moments where you fall off and it hurts, but you're kind of like, oh, that'll be a good moment, that'll be good for the trailer. And so it kind of worked out nicely, and luckily no one broke anything or nobody died along the way. But yeah, it was really fun, really cool film in Hokkaido. We filmed on a steam train, we filmed on a ice-breaking ship, we filmed on the dog sled. I think we filmed on just about every form of transport available, and it made for a hell of an adventure. Like, that part of Hokkaido, like, nobody ever goes there, and it's a real shame. I don't know why we hadn't been there ever before, right? Yeah. And I think, hopefully, the series does it justice. Hopefully.
I think with the I think finding so many different scenes and like just for the trailer, because I don't know what's actually taking place. I've not seen what's actually happened in the future when the main thing comes out. But like, there's so many like to find so many snow related scenes for that trailer, so many snow related activities all at the same time for one video must have been quite difficult. I think because a lot of stuff would have been inside and.
Yeah, I don't know. I always wanted to go on the icebreaker ship, although it didn't turn out the way I'd wanted because there was no fucking ice that day on the ice.
Right.
Bloody breaker ship. There was one piece of ice. I think I mentioned that, like, the boat oriented itself to crash through this one solitary piece of ice. Because normally in that part of Hokkaido, the Sea of Okhotsk, North Hokkaido, there's supposed to be just like a genuine sea of ice, like drift ice, as far as the eye could see. We had one tiny piece of drift ice, and this big fucking icebreaker ship just smashed through it. And it felt, rather than glorious, it felt almost perverse.
Yeah.
Because it felt like, oh, the one bit of drift ice that delivered, it gave us something to look at. And we smashed it. We smashed it into oblivion. Yeah, really cool area. We'd love to go back. Hokkaido continues to be, I think, my favourite prefecture in Japan for the sheer diversity of locations. Just a sense of adventure. So, series should be coming out this weekend.
Good.
In theory.
In theory.
Don't hold me to it, though. Something will probably go wrong. We'll get a copyright strike from Madonna, or we'll get done for gun violence or something.
Yeah.
Which is actually a genuine risk. Even though it's like a parody and it's a joke, we could get buggered for that. So, God knows. God knows. But fingers crossed. We've got a story this week. Yeah, go on.
I'd say, like, isn't it weird that, like, there's just so much kind of, like, there's so many trailer clips of people shooting things, you know, film trailers and stuff with people getting blown up, getting murdered, getting shot, getting killed, and yet, you know, you have one, you know, pretty decent, you know, pretty accurate-looking gun in your video, and you're at risk of getting your money pulled.
Yeah, I do wonder. I mean, that would really fuck everything, because I don't know how I would have the opening to journey across Japan if it's not allowed.
Yeah.
Because we can't just blur the big thing in Natsuki's hand for the first 2 minutes of the video.
I wonder what he's got. Just a super soaker.
Just use like AI to like have a stick or like a water pistol in his hand. I don't know. Honestly, it is a concern. But that's the world of YouTube. That's got a story this week from Kent, which is where Pete Dawson went to the beach. Yeah. Kent from Los Angeles. He says, "Dear Chris and Pete, I'll save you the two alliterations this week. This week, I have a story for you about my experience at Diver City in Odaiba. My friend Saki, who's a Japanese native, my partner Michelle, and I were walking around Odaiba after just getting out of the Team Lab Planets display back in May 2019. Good old Team Lab. Did you ever go, Pete, the amazing light display?
I did. It was very well attended, let's say. So, and it obviously, it was pre-COVID, but like, I remember sort of thinking, there's a lot of like surfaces that people are like putting their face on, sneezing on, you know, all this stuff. You're sort of like, I mean, is this okay? Is this all right?
But, team bacteria.
Very impressive.
That's pretty cool. Yeah, it is really impressive. The outside temperature was around 88 degrees Fahrenheit or 31 degrees Celsius, so not the coolest for May weather. After walking around a bit, we eventually made our way into the mall, where I quickly started to feel dizzy, nauseous, and faint. I found a bench, sat down and started drinking Pocari Sweat and water. The three of us said the heat was probably affecting me and I needed to cool off and hydrate for a while. After sitting on the bench for 30 minutes and not feeling any better, my friend Saki went to find a mall employee to see if they had a cooler place to sit and relax. The mall security quickly rushed over to me and escorted me through some double doors, down a hallway, past the mall video security surveillance room, where we ended up in a triage room. Triage room? Triage. Intended for mall goers. Oh. Is that the right word? Triage? Who may also overheat. The security staff prepared a bed for me, gave me ice packs to place under my armpits and behind my neck, and gave me plenty of cold bottled water. We stayed in that room for about 60 minutes and the staff periodically checked up on me to make sure that I was alive. Eventually, we left the mall and went back to our hotel room to rest a little bit. I thought the whole experience represented Japan's culture of omotenashi, hospitality, very well. The mall staff went above and beyond to take care of me, and I will be forever grateful to them. What are your most memorable omotenashi experiences in Japan? Sincerely, Kent from Los Angeles. Oh, that's very nice, isn't it? That they looked after Kent in his hour of need.
In his hour of need.
What do you think, Pete? Isn't that lovely?
What do I think? I was going to say, yeah, you really made me think there. What do I think? I mean, it's nice that, they've clearly got an issue with heating, haven't they, really, if you're having to sort of deal with that every time.
Yeah, it's pretty troubling.
If you've got an actual triage system that prioritises people who have got too hot over other ones, I mean, it's incredible stuff. But good on them that they're able to have the ice packs on ready to go when someone, like putting them under armpits as well. Like, oh, that would be
pretty
so
cold.
Unpleasant. Mm. That's why you should always carry a coolish.
You can eat it, you can cool down.
Exactly.
What can't you do with coolish?
Yeah.
Have you ever had an omotenashi experience, Pete? Omotenashi kind of means like hospitality. It's kind of like...
Right.
Well, yeah, it just means hospitality, really.
Yeah.
And they take it very seriously here about always treating the customer like God and whatnot. But you ever had an experience...
Well, I mean, the hotel proprietor in Sakata who...
put you on a radio show.
Put me on a radio show.
Just exploitation.
Came over to watch Watford-Liverpool a few years later and delivered me a cool J-League football shirt signed by the players. And if that's not service with a smile, I don't know what is, Chris, to be honest.
That's pretty cool. Yeah, I stayed at Ryokan owned by Ryotaro's friend a few years ago. And he was like, "You like beef?" I was like, "Yes, yes, I do." And he took us to like a beef shop, not an abattoir, but like that would have been very much
shop.
Not omotenashi. But he took us to like a wagyu like shop, a really high class one, and you
right.
can see the slabs of buttery wagyu being sliced and diced. And but then he also made fun of the owner of the wagyu shop. He said, "Oh, he's very fat." And like poke the man. It was a little bit weird. But like, omotenashi. There you go.
Nice.
That's omotenashi at its best. But that's nice though. That's good. I like that. We've got a story this week about not omotenashi. It's a depressing one. Actually, there was a story this week where they're currently trying to build some new large buildings, some apartment blocks in Yoyogi Park near the Meiji Jingu Shrine.
Oh, right.
And there's a big outcry from the local, everyone in Tokyo, basically. And people aren't happy about it. And this kind of feels like it ties in with that a little bit. And it revolves around Kyoto being ruined. What's going on in Kyoto this week, Mr. Donaldson?
Well, I mean, you speak about that kind of spot in sort of the shrine and Yoyogi Park and stuff. Like, it's the only sort of quiet... big part of Tokyo, really. It's the only space, it's the only blank space they've got in central Tokyo. Terrible stuff. Anyway, in Kyoto, obviously a place that people go to relax, to experience life as it was. Well, that's going to end because the city government have decided that they're going to revise the building code. In fact, they have last Tuesday. And they've reduced the limits on building heights. So basically, that means we can and I guess Japanese, specifically Japanese building guys, they have decided that they can build really, really big buildings. Before, in the area south of Kyoto Station, buildings could not be taller than 20 or 25 metres high, depending on their exact address. Now we're allowed to build structures up to 31 metres tall. Not
six
a massive...
6 metres taller, oh my God.
I mean, it's not a massive...
Kyoto's ruined.
It's not a massive increase, is it really? So it's slightly risen. Kyoto, obviously, is widely considered as a symbol of Japan's traditional culture. It's a place that people sort of flock to get a taste of what that country used to be. But they do need places to live. It's a modern city still, but it is experiencing a situation where they need people to be able to live in the centre of town. So they've decided that to extend the capacity ever so slightly, and people are kind of torn between, well, we will have more people living here, which will be nicer rather than the bloody tourists, but also we're in a situation where we are do not want really, really big buildings, reducing the attractiveness of the environs in Kyoto.
I mean, I think it's not as serious in top trumps of ruining the local area. I think Meiji Jingu is more serious, right? They're building like an actual stadium and whatnot in the like by the park, which is a big deal. Like allowing them to build 6 meters taller in Kyoto, but I suppose it's that gradual chipping away, isn't it? In the way that food standards get chipped away in like North America or Europe, gradually each year.
Yeah,
I suppose if you chip away at the rules and the codes like this, then gradually developers come in and they ruin things and. I do worry a little bit about that, but I Kyoto's got a special place in my heart. Over the years, I've ranted and raved about in different ways. Like I said, that I didn't like Kyoto, and then I changed my mind during COVID. I spent a lot of time down there, and we got a video coming out about townhouses soon, called "Why Not to Buy a Tokyo Townhouse?" A Kyoto townhouse, because we went in one that was very overpriced. And I don't see how anyone could develop it and make a profit. But I think it's unfortunate that they're going to do this. And, I don't know. What can we do, Pete? What can we do to stop this? Tie yourself to a building in Kyoto.
We start to build underground and become Kyoto Mall people. And we just spend our time underground having a lovely time.
Donaldson Towers.
Yeah.
Just got Donaldson 6 meters
towers.
Taller.
Yeah, but the towers are inverted, like an inverted belly button, just in rather than out.
Absolutely. But I don't know. It's unfortunate. I think the way bigger issue is Kyoto's townhouses disappearing. I think I read that by 2050, a lot of the Machia townhouses will all be gone at their current trajectory.
Right.
Just because it's a lot of money to keep them and people in Kyoto don't actually want them because they're really inconvenient. And I think that's a much bigger issue than this. But yeah, it's a trouble having a country that tries to cling to its traditions but also wants to modernise and constantly get rid of buildings. A bit like my beloved Nakagin Capsule Tower. Still haven't got over that. It's been almost a year.
Full of asbestos.
It's almost a year. Yeah. How dare you? I'm going to send you
an eyesore full of asbestos
for your birthday. I'm going to send you a fucking suitcase full of licorice and asbestos. We'll be back in just a moment, guys. Your stories, comments, and questions in the fax machine.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot. We charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. HelloFresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Apple Card is the perfect cashback rewards credit card. You earn up to 3% daily cash on every purchase every day. That's 3% on your favorite products at Apple, 2% on all other Apple Card with Apple Pay purchases, and 1% on anything you buy with your titanium Apple Card or virtual card number. Visit apple.co/cardcalculator to see how much you can earn. Apple Card issued by Goldman Sachs Bank USA, Salt Lake City branch, subject to credit approval, terms apply.
This show is sponsored by BetterHelp. How's your social battery right now? Mine's pretty low after coming back from the craziness of WrestleMania, too many body slams and all that. And I'm pretty jealous of my co-host Chris, who seems to have been exploring Japan's most isolated hotel. He's definitely winning in the relaxation race, but I'm determined to catch up with him. It can be easy to get swept up in social gatherings and spread ourselves too thin, but with therapy, you can learn to prioritize your time and recharge your batteries. It's helpful for learning how to set personal boundaries and empowering you to be the best version of yourself, because you should spend your time on your own terms. So, if you're thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online and designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. Just fill out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist and switch therapists at any time for no additional charge. Find your social sweet spot with BetterHelp. Visit betterhelp.com/Japan today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/Japan.
And we're back with the fax machine. What do we got this week, Mr. Asbestos?
Hey, I will not be called Mr. Asbestos. Geraldo from Florida. I don't think I've ever met a Geraldo. It's a great name. Hello, Chris and Pete. My name is Geraldo and I'm from Venezuela, but I live in Orlando, Florida. I'm going to be going to London in May for about a week or so. Are there any Japanese or good Japanese restaurants in London I should check out while I am there? Now, Chris once recommended me a place called Sakana Te. Go there. There is the famous what's that curry brand that's behind the station Coco in the square? Coco Ichibanya. That's a bit of fun as well. Yeah, go there. Those two.
Yeah, they're good.
Yeah.
The best ramen chain I found in London is Shoryu. They're pretty good. They're owned by the same folks that do the Japan store. What's the Japan store called? Is it literally the Japan store?
I think it's the Japan. The Japan store? Yeah, I think it's the Japan store. I've spent so little time in London recently. I'm just losing all of my kind of cultural touchstones. It's terrible.
Yeah, well, your culture's gone. But yeah, Shorty is very good. And Engawa, the Wagyu restaurant, which I don't know if I ever told you to go there. Did I tell you to go there? Engawa?
Engawa? Yeah, I think you did, yeah. Nice.
That's good. I was out for dinner with a friend once, and he brought his friend, who's this entrepreneur who just owns like all of every fucking restaurant in Tokyo. Nice guy. And he was like, oh, I own a restaurant in London called Engawa. And I was like, "Way, I've been there. I love it. And I've shouted it out on the podcast at least 3 times. He wants to buy me a drink. And he did. So there you go. Take advantage of it. But yeah, Engawa's really good. Really nice. One of the few places I think you can get real Wagyu Kobe beef that isn't some Wagyu from Australia that's been sneakily rebranded. But have a great time in London, Geraldo. And if you get the time to go south, head to Camber Sands. You might run into Pete Donaldson and his dogs. We come from Carl from Austria. He says, "Hello, Chris and Pete. Since my last visit in Japan in 2019, and since I'm planning to come back early 2024, what has changed in the last years, if anything's changed at all? Cheers, Carl from Austria." Well, Carl, they can now build 6 metres taller in Kyoto. And Shibuya's changed a lot, actually. I think you'll notice the biggest changes in Shibuya, that 3 whopping great big skyscrapers have gone up over COVID. But other than that, honestly, not a lot. Maybe, in fact, that it's easier to get around without cash. It's easier to find a hotel because they built a lot, and there's a lot more signs in English. So I actually think it's a way better time to travel around Japan now than it was, you know, 3-4 years ago. So it'll be for the better. And we got one last question from Matthew from USA. He says, "Dear compendious Chris and poetic Pete, I finally had the opportunity to visit Japan this May with my partner, but I'm worried about recording too much and not being in the moment enough. Do either of you have any advice for finding the right balance between enjoying your trips and keeping a record of them? Chris, do you get much time to actually enjoy your wacky weekends and journey across Japan, or are you mostly focused on filming? Much love to you both, Matthew from the USA. Pete, what's the secret? How do you balance a good trip but also record it?
I'm not kind of really someone who does any filming or many taking pictures. I'll occasionally pop out with a little Ricoh GR3 camera and take some pictures, but I'm not really a massive take a picture video person. I'm really not. I'll invariably take some pictures of my partner, but if she's cutting about. But yeah, I'm not a massive picture taker, to be honest, or video guy. I don't do Instagram really. I don't do social media really. I don't produce stuff for social media.
You're above that.
I just don't think. I think. Twitter was my main one, and I just sort of thought, I'm not like the things that really sort of bang that everyone sees are shit. And the stuff that I like, nobody ever looks at. And so I go, that just makes me sad that I'm this little weirdo nobody likes. So I'm just like, well, it's not healthy for me to sort of to try and service this crowd that you know just doesn't respond to my stuff. So I'm like, well, you know what? I'll concentrate on podcasts. I'll get my expression out that way. But yeah, it's an interesting kind of it's an interesting world where people sort of feel like they're not existing unless they're taking pictures and, you know, broadcasting stuff out. I'm not saying that's what Matthew's doing here, but I've never really got my camera out. If it's something like funny, if it's a funny sign that says bum or willy, that's very much going to be finding its way into my camera roll. But yeah, I don't know. I just about five years ago, I just sort of stopped doing it, and I've kind of, I'm quite comfortable with it really.
I mean, I take a lot of photos when I'm traveling and I just don't release them publicly. I have them on my phone that I can go back and look at. I often just take really ugly, horrible, crappy photos just for my memory, of just things around me in all my travels. With something like Wacky Weekend or Journey Across Japan, like I do enjoy it to an extent, but I'm more focused on the filming than I am of enjoying it. But I don't know how to keep a good balance, really. I'm very much all or nothing. If I am filming, then I'm probably not enjoying it. So I have to choose between the two. So when I'm traveling with Charlotte, we're going on holiday. Like we went to Kanazawa last year. Look at the old merchant town. Beautiful place. Yeah. Little Kyoto, they call it. I didn't film anything. Neither did she. And we enjoyed it. And we had some wonderful memories there. Took some photos, of course. But that was it, really. So I'd say just take lots of photos, to be honest, Matthew. And that's the secret. But I share your sentiments with social media, Mr. Dawson. Even though I use it a lot, I despise social media, and I use it mainly as a tool for promoting the podcast and the videos. Like, if I could find a way to just not do it, then that would be very good. But until that day, until super artificial intelligence and super intelligent AI takes over, I'll just have to keep using it. But have a great trip, Matthew. Have a wonderful time. Keep the stories, questions, comments coming into abroadinjapanpodcast@gmail.com, guys. Check out the trailer for Journey Across Japan, out now on Abroad in Japan. But for now, no matter where you might be, out there in the big wide world, keep an eye out for the next episode or the first episode of Journey Across Japan, and have yourself a great few days. I need to go and eat some food now because I've not really eaten today. So I'm going to run away.
Run.
And eat yakitori.
Have another cold brew coffee at like 1 o'clock in the blubber.
Yeah, cold brew coffee. Let's do it. See you later, guys. Have a good one. It's coffee Ta-da. Time.
Abroad in Japan is a Stack production and part of the Acast Creator Network.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic-butter shrimp scampi. Mm. HelloFresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
I'm Kate Thornton. Join me every week on White Wine Question Time, the podcast that asks famous faces three thought-provoking questions over 3 glasses of wine.
It's very rare to be introduced with such a thorough introduction, and it's kind of lovely to listen to all that and go, yeah, I've had a good life, right?
You really have.
How did you find that? I can't even remember. Yeah,
you do your research, Kate, man. I'll tell you that.
Do you know what? You are the only person ever, no other journalist has ever made that connection.
Wow, what a great question.
And receives some truly memorable answers.
And Tom Cruise came and Nicole Kidman. I go to him, listen, before you go, Tom, I just want you to know, if you fancy a foursome, I'm up for it, and I know Anne-Marie doesn't mind.
When I first dated my now husband, I joined a gym for, I'm going to say, £1,000 a year, just so I could go off and have a poo.
Actually, I got heckled once in Wales, and there was a bloke at the bar on crutches, and he actually said to me, I'd rather fall over than listen to this shit, and he threw his crutches at me and fell over. Can you believe that?
I've got some cat's ashes, I don't know who they are.
You've been catfished by your own cat.
Exactly, seriously, man.
Dad, have you thought about putting in a breakfast nook? And my dad would think, have you thought about getting your own fucking house?
How did you give a duck an orgasm, Craig?
It's good with them, you know. And then we're way around a duck.
So, if you fancy a sit-down with the likes of Adam Hills, Tom Allen, Hannah Waddingham, Phil Tufnell, James Acaster and Ed Gamble, Daisy May Cooper, and tons more, then join me every Tuesday and Friday. Search White Wine Question Time in your podcast app to subscribe and listen now. White Wine Question Time is a Stack production. We'll be right back.